Hey, this is James De Los Santos from HUD Post, and today I have a special guest, Ward E. Councilman and mayoral candidate for Jersey City, James Solomon.
Hey, James. Thanks for having me. I appreciate the time.
Of course. Thanks for being on. You know, when I do my podcast, I like to get to know people personally. I know you go on a lot of interviews and they'll talk about your policies and about how you feel about other politicians. I feel the best way to get to know someone is just to get to know them personally and just, get to know their principles and the things that guided them throughout life. So one of the first questions I love to ask is about your childhood and where you grew up. What type of child were you? What type of child would you say your parents say you were? And anything like that?
That's a great question. So I think I was a pretty rebellious child. My mom, as a baby, my mom says I used to cry all the time and created some issues. But, I think in like middle school, high school, I started really getting into sports. So I was like a big hockey and football kid, loved playing sports. And I think that was for me as like a teenager, way for me to really process emotions. So, my parents did get divorced when I was pretty young. I was about like 9 or 10. And I think, for any child that goes through that, that's a pretty formative moment. And you have to process a lot when you see your parents split. And so I think for me, figuring that out, and I think sports was a real outlet for me to do that. I grew up in the Jersey burbs, so I'm a suburban kid. And then when I was 18, I vowed never to return to New Jersey. I left for college and went to California. We'll see how that worked out. I got brought back, although you can either thank or blame, depending on your perspective, my wife, Gabby, for bringing me back to New Jersey and specifically into Jersey City.
Amazing. So is Gabby from Jersey City?
This is one of my favorite stories, but this is the best. So Gabby is originally from Williamsburg, the pre-gentrification Williamsburg. So she's Puerto Rican. She's half Polish, half Puerto Rican. So even though she's not from Jersey City or Hudson County, Puerto Rican is a very Hudson County combination. So she was from Williamsburg. And then we met in graduate school and we were dating long distance. I was in Boston and she was in Connecticut. And then she got a job working in the central office at Newark Public Schools. So she was like, my job requires me to relocate to New Jersey. And she went and she looked at a couple places. So she went to Hoboken. And I say with respect to your Hoboken listeners, she was like, hell no, I'm not living in Hoboken. And then she came to Jersey City. And I tell the story. She calls me up and she's like, James, I fucking love Jersey City. She's like, I love this city. I love this place. And in some ways, it reminded her, this was obviously 15 years ago, but she reminded her of the Brooklyn that she had grown up. It's incredibly diverse, down-to-earth place. And she was like, I really want us to move here. So she moved here first, and I joined her about 6 months later. And we were at the time in our relationship where we felt like we're probably going to get married, but we wanted to live together first. So I left my job in Boston and came to Jersey City, and that's what brought us here.
Amazing. So tell me, how did you get into the political world of Hudson County? You know, you say coming from the burbs, moving out to Cali and being in Boston. What attracted you to the Hudson County political scene?
I sometimes joke. I'm like, if I knew then what I know now, would I have taken this path? But no, for me, it was this moment to simplify a long story into a short version. So in 2015, Gabby and I got married. And about a month after I got married, I was diagnosed with lymphoma. And it was one of those shocking moments. It's like you're 30, you think you're invincible. You've got all, the world is your oyster. And when that happened, I was like, holy shit, like who knows how much time I have. And so I did a lot of reflecting, like, what is it that I want with my life if I get my health back? And when I got better, it was just clear for me. It was like, I want two things. It's family and I want public service. And so my wife and I are blessed with our three beautiful daughters, Camila, Corinne, and Noelle, who are 7, 5, and 3. And then for public service, it was like I wanted to give back to Jersey City because I really felt this city had my back during my toughest time. I was remembering my friends Debbie and Sharon here. They used to own a cafe called Gia Gelato here on Newark Avenue. Every time I walked in during my treatment, they'd give me a free cup of coffee. I had my friends Joel Maffei and Aaron Golombieski. They would take me on walks in Liberty State Park to keep my energy up. I was genuinely supported by people in the city and in a way that really touched me. And I felt, look, I got to give back to the city that helped me. And so I was like, when I get better, I'm going to run for city council. And that's when I ran in 17. But I was like, I got to do it the right way. I can't do it the way that so many people do it, which is they get in and then they lose sight of A, why they're doing it, and B, they sell out, lack of a better word. And so I was like, I can't be the butt of these jokes. I can't be the next corrupt Hudson County guy. I got to actually do it different. So I made some promises. I was like, I don't take money from developers. And I'm not going to be part of the machine. I'm going to be independent. And over 8 years, so many different times developers were like, we want to help you. And so many different times machine bosses were like, you know, it'd be so much easier if you just joined with us and then you wouldn't have to work so hard. And I was just like, I made those promises and I'm going to stick to it.
So tell me about that first selection. So was, I probably should have done my research. Was your first selection, was your first selection ever. Win?
Or yeah, was, it was.
All right. So tell me how, you know, how from going from not, you know, not being from the area to actually building that rapport with the community. Tell me about that experience.
It was great. I never run for anything before, not even like, you know, class president. So it was the first time I'd ever run for office for anything. And, you know, I was just in this moment of like, you know, the moment I get better, I'm going to start running. So go through my chemo, go through my radiation. They tell you when it's true, it takes you about a year to feel normal. So my kind of treatment ended in the spring of 16. And so spring of 17, that's when I start to feel like, okay, I'm back to 100%. Really did take a year. It was pretty remarkable. But I'm back. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. And you know, for me, I had been watching the Jersey City political world. And in that time, what we had seen was just tax break after tax break to big developer. They had given 70 tax breaks in the first 4 years of Mayor Phillips' administration. I was like, some of these tax breaks were nuts. There's one guy, he was selling condos for over $1 million. And he got a 20-year tax break. I'm like, you're selling the condos for $1 million+. This is more than 10 years ago now. So now those condos are probably $2 million. I'm like, you do not need a tax break. And I was like, well, did he give us back affordable housing? Did he give us back a new public school? Did he give us back parks? And the answer was no, he didn't. So I was like, okay, what did he give us? And I looked in the campaign finance donations and I saw that he made a bunch of big super PAC donations. So I was like, okay, like that's how it works. And I really ran on that issue. I was like, look, people are pissed and they're frustrated and they're done with basically the city being sold out from under them. And I think that's what connected. And so when you're talking on a door and there's someone who's like, oh, you know, do you actually care about us? You know, tell about the story about, hey, you know, this is the city that, you know, helped me during my toughest time and I want to give back the right way. And then the other thing that I think helped me connect is when I first moved here, I immediately started teaching. So I've taught at all of our Jersey City schools. So NJCU, Hudson County, and St. Peter's. And that ability to like be able to connect in and talk to your students and show people, hey, look, I'm here to really make people's lives better. And that my life has been like a story of how do you serve people? How do you do it the right way? I think that resonated too. And then my main opponent in that race was a woman named Rebecca Symes. Rebecca is a friend and like we've kind of gotten over, you know, whatever sharp elbows we had in that race. But, you know, we had a two round race. So in the first round, she beat me 42-32. And so everyone assumed she was going to win. And we had the runoff a month later. And, you know, we were like, you know what? We're just going to give it our all. We're going to put our head down. We're going to work our ass off. We're just every day talk to voters, every day be out there, every day just fight and hustle. And we were able to turn a 10-point deficit into a 5-point win. And so we won by 15 points. But it was the first time, you know, most of the political machine was not with me. They were with other candidates in that race. And so for me, it's one of those moments where it's like, okay, like I can beat the machine. I know how to do it. I've seen it. And then obviously in 2021, they took a much bigger shot at me. They put up a candidate, gave him a couple $100,000 and I won 70-30. So I won that race substantially. But I feel confident now that I've been doing it that like I can beat the machine. I know who they are. I know how they operate and I know how to beat them.
So when you're going door to door and knocking and meeting in residents, what is the biggest misconception that you hear about yourself or that you have to correct mostly?
I think the biggest misconception is, oh, you only care about downtown. And I understand where it comes from. It comes from feeling like the mayor for the last 12 years is focused on downtown and people see it. Physically, you're in downtown, you go to the rest of the city, you see the extra investment. And then two, you know, I represent downtown. So obviously I've been downtown for, you know, a huge portion of, you know, what I do politically, because that's who I represent on the council. But I also think that I've worked my butt off to try to make sure that while I represent downtown, the issues I'm championing are issues that affect everybody in Jersey City. So we passed the first bill banning AI algorithms using illegal data to set rents artificially high. We passed a tenants' right to counsel, which puts a fee on luxury-only development to fund affordable homes. We got rid of the fees that Mayor Fuller put on our free public pools. We passed an affordable housing preference for Jersey City residents. So I feel like on the council, even though I represent downtown, I have a real record of fighting for issues that help everybody in every section of Jersey City. And then it's also just how I govern and who I am. It's like I'm going to be a hands-on mayor that is on the street every day in every part of the city. So I totally get when the question's asked. I'm not mad that someone would say to me, oh, are you only going to be a downtown mayor? Because they have a right to ask it. But I think I've really got a track record that shows people that I'm going to govern differently than the current mayor. I mean, you know, we are signed, say vote for change. And we're not shy about saying we're going to approach things differently than Mayor Fulop. And one of the core ways we're going to do that is by showing up in every part of the city in genuine, authentic ways and making sure every part of the city gets a fair share of investment and not just one neighborhood.
Perfect. Well, I think vote for change, I think, is a good segue to that. A question I like to ask is, you know, government's complicated. You have to get votes through your fellow councilmen. And, you know, also get the public involved. But if you had a magic wand and given that the mayor, let's say, is the king for the day, which we're not advocating for. But what's one thing that you would change about Jersey City if you had a magic wand?
I think the answer is obvious for me is you take all this luxury development that's happened and you'd create real affordable homes for working people. So we're not against the development. We want people to be building and growing in Jersey City. But what we've seen is quite literally tens of thousands of units built with none of them or minuscule percentage actually affordable. So take the Journal Square towers, take those three white towers that everyone sees in Journal Square. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could just make 25%, 30%, 50%, magic wand, give me 100%, but you know, and make them actually affordable. So rent's $1,000 a month, rent's $1,500 a month, rent's $2,000 a month. And that would do so much to make Jersey City the, you know, diverse city, a home to everybody. And, you know, when I do you guys canvassing, when I knock on doors, the biggest thing you hear from people is the next tax increase, the next rent increase is going to force me out of the city that I love. That is just the number one thing you hear over and over and over again. And so, you know, if we would be able to turn those homes into affordable homes, it would be incredible.
So on the topic of affordable housing, so depending on who you speak to and I guess what section of the community, affordable housing means different things for different people. I'll give you an example. I used to work in Weehawken and a nice building, luxury apartment opened up on 1500 Harbor Boulevard. Says it was going to be affordable. Ended up being $2,500 a month for someone who was a young professional. That was not affordable to me in my eyes.
Yeah, 100%.
Now, is affordable a scale in your eyes or is affordable housing a certain number?
Yeah, no, it's a specific number. For us. And so we are really targeting rents at $1,000 a month and rents $1,500 a month. If you're super wonky, that corresponds to what's called 30% AMI. But for us, it's like those are rents that, you know, you're working on a regular starting working salary. You can afford that rent. You know, 40K annual salary can afford a rent of $1,000 a month. And so that's what we're targeting. So we are going to push to maximize the number of units that are affordable at $1,000 and $1,500. That doesn't mean we also might not have in certain developments, you know, rents at 2000 or 2500, which can be lower than the market rate and still helpful. But to your point, that's 2500 isn't genuinely affordable. It's not affordable for most people who are, you know, young professionals starting out or someone who's working a blue collar job. So our commitment is those $1,000 and $1,500 a month rents.
So how do you plan to tackle affordable housing? What's an actionable item that you think?
Yeah. So the biggest one,
for example, or for like the AI, I'm sorry to cut you off, but the AI law that you just passed, have you seen that already trickle down to lower rents?
So we've definitely seen the AI bill help specifically in preventing the giant increases. Before we passed that bill, you would hear people saying, I'm getting a 20% increase this year. I'm getting a 25% increase. That we are seeing way, way less after we passed the bill, because that bill was specifically allowing the landlords to set the rents artificially high. In terms of how do you actually deliver it, I think it's we have three core things to do broadly on an affordable Jersey City. The first is mandate that developers put 20% affordable homes in big new projects. And that's a big change because most of the current projects are 100% luxury. And so 20% portion of those are going to be those $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month rents. And there's ways to do it. You start with the mandate and you force them to do it. And then you have to work out the finance because we do need them to build the project for us to get the affordable homes. And there are ways in which you work out the financing. There's a whole suite of tools you look at. There's state aid. There's a number of things you can do to ensure the projects get built. But that's step one. Then step two is protect tenants in affordable apartments today. If you're in an apartment that is renting at $1,000, $1,500, there's two ways we want to protect you. The first is we want to cap rent increases. You can't allow for these 10, 15% increases year after year after year. That is what pushes people out of the city. And then the second is a strong landlord-tenant office. A landlord-tenant office that actually is like a kind of a fighter on behalf of the tenants to ensure that if a landlord is engaging in illegal action, that they're not going to be able to push someone out. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, we're anti-landlord, but it is specifically targeting the illegal behavior that we see from too often from landlords, where they're trying to push people out so that they can jack up the rent.
Understood.
Yeah.
Now, question about, I guess, the New York City race. We see that getting a lot of national attention. Obviously, New York is the capital of America, if in some people's eyes. But we're right across the river. And it doesn't seem that we get Jersey City's getting the attention that, you know, or even a tenth of the attention that New York gets. Do you see this race being indicative of where the nation's going, or is this, is Jersey City its own its own pocket?
So what I would say is, first, I do think there are a lot of parallels between our race and the race in New York, and I'll get to those in a second. But first, it doesn't bother me that, like, we're not getting a ton of attention. You know, for me, it's I'm running to be the mayor of Jersey City. I'm not running to be the mayor of New York. I'm not running to be a national political figure. You know, to me, those are things that are ego-driven and not about service. So for me, the core is I want to be the best Jersey City mayor possible. That's my dream job. That's the only job I want. I'm not interested in this job and doing something else. Where I think we have the similarities with New York, which I do think speak to the broader place we are in the country, is both races have disgraced former governors running, trying to attempt political comebacks, but running with the full power of the political elites, the political establishment, and the same, I would argue, corrupt forces that led us into the mess that we're in today. So, for example, in our race, it's former Governor McGreevy. You know, he's raised $5 million, which is a nuts amount of money. 95% of that doesn't come from Jersey City. So he's raised $4.5 million more than that from people who don't live in Jersey City. And you're like, well, why are they giving him that much money? And the answer is they want to keep making money. They view Jersey City as a cash cow. If it's developer, you want your next sweetheart deal. If you're a contractor, you want your next sweetheart contract. And that's the old way of doing politics. And my view is that's what got us into this mess, that got us into the affordability crisis. It's what it's the reason our property taxes in Jersey City have gone up 50% in 5 years. And that's the type of politics we got to throw away. And I think in New York City, Zoran said something similar. He basically said, look, I'm running on change. I'm running on affordability. And Andrew Cuomo is more of the same. And I think that message clearly resonated. I think he will win this coming election in November, just as he won the primary. And I think what voters were looking for was which candidate can actually deliver on change and really fight to make their city affordable. And so that is the similarity with us here. And I think more broadly, you're seeing across the country, and you even saw it in Trump's election in 24, is people are just tired of the same old bullshit. They're tired of being told, oh, if you just have to do the same thing we've always done, and this time it'll work. And so I think they're really looking for people that are actually going to try to change things. And that's why we sort of wear the kind of disdain of developers with pride, that, you know, those guys have gotten really, really rich in Jersey City through this luxury-only housing model. And, you know, we think it needs to change.
So speaking about McGreevy, we've gotten several polls where it shows that he's in first place, and we've had several polls that show that you're in second place. Mm-hmm. Some of internal polls say O'Day is in second place. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like it's a long shot for this election, or is it just a matter of getting your name out? Like, tell me how you're feeling about going into this November 100%. Election.
I mean, I feel great. And I think we're going to surprise a lot of people on November 4th. And then, you know, we have this runoff system, so we're likely to have a second election on December 2nd. You know, I think exactly what you saw in New York is what you're going to see here, which was that, you know, the former governors always start with that lead because they have the name recognition, they have the money. So initially, their polls always show them higher. But by the time you get to election day, that lead evaporates. And it evaporates because most voters now know who I am. You know, at the start, a lot of voters didn't know who I am, but now they know. They know that, okay, this guy's fought for affordable housing his whole career. He's taken on the machine and he's beaten them. He's taken on the developers and beaten them. Okay, that's the guy who can really deliver change. So we feel really confident that we're growing in this race, and that when we get to election day, we're going to surprise people. I would say we're almost certain it will be a runoff. So we think that we're going to have to do this twice, November 4th and then December 2nd.
Perfect. Yeah. And I know in the beginning I said we weren't going to get so deep into policy, it's exciting stuff. And I know you get very passionate about this stuff.
I like policy.
But you know, we'll swivel just a little bit, and I want to get into more about small businesses in the area.
Yeah, of course.
You know, HuddPost, we do a lot of lifestyle videos where we cover restaurants and hotels and all that great stuff. Tell me about one of your favorite, I guess, small businesses in Jersey City. And you know, or just a general block community. You let me know.
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. A couple of fun ones. I mean, my favorite business is Second Street Bakery. So there, this little bakery tucked away on Second Street between Brunswick and Colgate. They've been baking bread for since 1920. They stopped a couple of years for World War II. That's how long the same family has been making bread. And their sandwiches are incredible. They got the breakfast sandwiches. They do awesome baked goods, and they do the great kind of like Italian subs. So they're my favorites. I've gotten to know the family. They're wonderful. Anna's the old grandmother, the old Nona that's behind the counter sometimes. Gino's the chef in the back. They're just like, you know, salt of the earth, incredible people. Their food's incredible. Best deal. The sandwiches are like $8. The sandwiches are going crazy. I mean, being charging $15-16 for a sandwich. So like they're it's a great deal too. And they're just wonderful humans. And so, you know, they're the type of small business that, you know, you just feel this real connection to. In terms of neighborhoods, it's a really good question. I mean, for representing downtown, I've always loved Via Brinken. Like, I've gotten to know the seniors there. We got the senior tower, the families were always there. You know, so I love the folks at Via for representing downtown. And then, you know, throughout the course of the campaign, part of the beauty is you get to see the incredible diversity of Jersey City. Like, it's been a joy to like learn and connect with the Coptic community. You know, I got to attend, you know, their Christmas services, their Easter services. You know, the mass is 8 hours long, which as a Catholic is kind of crazy. It's like 8 hours long. That's a long mass. But thankfully, they're generous to us guests, and we only come for about like an hour and a half, and then they escort us out, so we don't stay for all 8 hour masses. But you know, the part of Jersey City is, and it's true for Hudson County as well. But the city is just so incredibly diverse, and it makes it so special. And so the joy of campaigning is you really get to connect with every type of human in this very small little special city and you know, learn from that.
Yeah. So I guess the last topic I want to get into, and I think it's important for us, is local journalism. You know, we have the Jersey Journal shut down, say less than a year ago. Hudson Reporter, another newspaper that shut down. And right now, I think what we're finding is just a reorganization of what media and local journalism is. And it's kind of scary. Some you're getting where you're 100%. Getting misinformation, where you're getting some slanted information. And then, you know, I'm not going to toot my own horn. We try to put down the truth and facts forward. So I just wanted to get your feelings on local journalism, especially Jersey City and Hudson County as a whole, but specifically Jersey City with the big shutdown of your journal.
Yeah, I mean, we're grateful, obviously, for your efforts at HuddPost, as well as some of the new places that are springing up. You know, Hudson County View's been doing it for a while. Jersey City Times is growing. You know, Slice of Culture is you know, kind of doing their thing. So we're grateful for anybody who puts it out, because even if you write a story I don't like, right, it is so much better for us to have eyes, to have discussion, to have real conversation. And like politics, like if you're not tough, like get out of this business. Like, I mean, like if someone writes a story you don't like and you have a meltdown, you know, it is what it is. Like you just move on, you keep doing what you need to do. And I think particularly here, there's a ton of corruption. There just is. It's been the story too often in Hudson County, but you see it and no one is really watching anymore. And so we need local media to thrive. And, you know, it's going to look different than it did in the past, right? We're not bringing back the old school newspapers. And, you know, we shouldn't be looking to recreate what existed in the past. We should be looking to support new models. So obviously, you guys have a phenomenal model. I think each of these different organizations I mentioned have new models. I think our role in government is twofold. One is I do think there's a role for us to fund local media. And you do it the right way, right? You do it in ways where there's independence and there's no strings attached. But I do think we should be supporting local media because ultimately it saves our taxpayers money. You guys are able to report on corruption, and then that actually saves money. And people, once people know so there's someone watching that they could get caught, that completely affects their behavior. So it's really important for us to fund and then be accessible. Again, I think, you know, I'm not going to be the type of guy, you know, again, just to bring up the current mayor, you know, when someone wrote a story he didn't like it, cut them off. I just don't think that's how you do it. That's what Trump does. I don't think that's the right way to approach media. It's like, we'll be combative. If we think you write the wrong story, we'll tell you about it. We're not going to be shy, but we're also not going to engage in that type of, I think, retribution that I think is harmful. And we want to create as much access and transparency as possible so you can actually report on what's happening in the city.
Awesome. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your time today. I'll leave you with the last word. I let you get the last word, I'll let everyone know that there is an election coming up November 4th. And James Solomon will be on there if you're in Jersey City.
That's right.
So, thank you.
I appreciate it. No, and I'll take the two last words. So, you know, you obviously want to talk about personal stuff, and then I'll give my pitch. But on the personal side, just the one thing I mentioned it briefly, but just know about me is I am a proud girl dad. I got my three daughters, Camila, Corinne, and Noelle. They're 7, 5, and 3. born in the medical center, go to public schools here in Jersey City, and they're the loves of my life. And so I really define my life through family and public service. And, you know, just to know, thing to know about me on the personal side is like my life is being a dad. You know, if I'm not doing work in public service, my work is being a dad. And then I joke that I keep a little bit of time for fantasy football and my Pittsburgh Steelers. So that's it. And then on the election, you know, I'm asking for your vote if you live in Jersey City. I really want to earn it. And for me, the biggest thing is we need an affordable Jersey City. The city has gotten so, so expensive in the last 5 years. Rent through the roof, property taxes through the roof. And you only create an affordable Jersey City with change. And so we're going to do that. We're going to get tough on developers, force them to build affordable homes, you know, protect tenants in affordable housing, and then cap rent increases so we can keep people in their apartments. And I can deliver on that, I think, in a way my opponents can't, because I'm independent from developers and the machine. The only candidate independent from both of them. I don't take money from developers, haven't taken a cent my whole career, and I fought and beaten the machine time and time and time again. And to me, that's the recipe for change. You have to have the independence, you have to have the kind of toughness to fight, and then you got to be able to win. And I think I can do those things and help deliver a more affordable Jersey City. So I hope I earn your vote on November 4th.